Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 383, Crushing and Pressing Equals New Wine. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this 10th message in the Roots and Fruit series on Sunday, August 11th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Holy Spirit, just come and rest on the people. Give them open eyes of revelation and a spirit of wisdom to receive what you have to say through this message. Thank you, God, for using me. Anoint my lips to speak your word. Allow it to flow. Allow it to just touch every ear and every heart. And we thank you, Lord, because you need us to hear this in this day, in this time, in this very moment. And we will rise up as the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a message a lot of people don't like to hear, but it's crushing and pressing, but it equals new wine. So we're going to open this and unpackage it. So we have pictures to go along to give you visuals of what this looks like. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Picture number one. This is a wine press, a current today wine press. And you can see that it's got a couple bars on the top. A lot of stuff's going to happen. The grapes are inside, and it brings out the juice to make new wine. So I wanted you to have a visual of what this looks like. So turning grapes into wine is a process that undergoes crushing and pressing. The process of winemaking serves as a powerful metaphor for transformation and joy into the kingdom of God. Transformational power of God's grace works in our lives if we humble ourselves and submit to the process. There is a process, and it is not comfortable all the time. It's not all giggles all the time. There's some pressing that's going to happen in our hearts to change us from what we were to what he needs. Okay? Those grapes don't look anything like grapes any longer, but it is what is needed to make the wine. Okay? So what if stress and turmoil can actually yield something valuable? That'd be awesome, right? We want to turn that stuff that hurts into the goodness of God, right? And he turns all things for good, so we got to allow the process. Under God's spirit of influence, we can be transformed into something that brings joy and nourishment to someone else. It's not about me. It's not about how I get everything. It's about what he wants to do with me, with you, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So in picture two here, it shows us the way they did it back in the day, back in Jesus' time. They used their feet and they crushed those grapes and they stomped on them. And sometimes that feels like God is stomping on us when we want to do something we want to do. And he's like, no, stomp it down. Stomp it down. I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be this way. And that's why he gives us the word. So in the Old Testament, grapes and wine played an important role in the sacrificial system established by God. Numbers 28:7 says, pour out the drink offering to the Lord at the sanctuary. Wine was offered as a drink offering alongside the animal sacrifice. This symbolized joy, celebration, and God's presence, as well as the pouring out of one's life and devotion to the Lord. When they were doing this, they probably had parties, crushing parties, and they were in there and they were just having a good time, and the joy was on their hearts because they knew as they were making the wine, it was going to be for the celebrations and the festivals and different times where they were seated together as a family or you know, a church. And so there was much joy in this. And then while they're crushing it, they're also thinking, I'm going to sacrifice this at the altar to our Lord. So it brought much joy. The first fruits of the grape harvest were to be offered to God as an active thanksgiving and acknowledgement of his provision. So when they had a whole bunch of good grapes, that was God's provision for them to turn around and give it back in the first fruits to be thankful to God because he provided that. They recognized God as the source of all blessings, and they responded with gratitude and generosity. Wine was also central in the celebration of the religious festivals. So back in the day as well in the Old Testament, prophets used the imagery of grapes and wine to speak to God's people. First in judgment, sometimes. Jeremiah 48:33, joy and gladness are gone from the orchards and the fields of Moab. I have stopped the flow of wine from the presses. No one treads them with shouts of joy. Although there are shouts, they are not shouts of joy. So sometimes he was using that to show them the judgment that was coming on them because of their actions. But he also used it for restoration and hope. And so Amos 9:13 says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter, by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. That's what we want to see, right? I think he was prophetic about what's going to happen in this last season if we allow God to work. The Lord wants to use us as his new wine today to bless his people and to bring new life to many lost souls. There's so many out there lost. And if we allow God to use us and send us, people's lives can be changed and saved. But if we're standing here in fear to go talk to that person over there at the park bench, God can't use us. So we have to stomp on that and crush that urge to run and allow God to use us to speak to that person. They're not going to remember you anyways. They're going to remember they heard either yes or no to the Lord. So Jesus is wanting to make new wine in us. And what does that look like? In the scripture, Mark 2:22. You got that one? Okay. And it says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. You know, as we hit COVID time and things started changing, we cannot do church the way we did church before. We cannot go out and talk to people the way we used to talk to people. There's an urgency now. So this old wineskin has to change. Our thoughts of what to do today has to change. We have to get on board with this is the season to speak. This is the season to shofar. This is the season to release the voice of God through your mouth. Right? And if we don't get that mindset, we're going to stay in the old wineskin and we're going to rot sitting on a chair. And God can't use us that way. So we have to be able to adjust and change and be willing to do what he's asking us to do. Do you want to be alive today? Do you want to be alive and not be a dried up old wineskin where all the wine just pours right out? Because the new wine will just burst it. It can't handle it. It's mine. The mindset of the old wineskin cannot handle the new wine, cannot handle the boldness of God, cannot handle those young kids that are running out there preaching on the streets. I'm one of them. And can't stand it. Can't stand it because, no, that's not the way we do church. We have to be the new wineskins, right? So he can pour his new wine through us. What does this take? We have to be available to the Lord. Examine your heart. Ask the Lord, am I available to be used by you? Am I available? Am I surrendering enough? Or am I walking in the fear of doing something that you've asked me to do? Because his word isn't just to Tanya or Pastor Harley or Pastor Sarah and Santos. It is to all. Go and make disciples. So all of us are to be going to do this, to share. We have to surrender what we think. Don't care about what other people says about you. I'm working on that too. That's why I say release the lion, because I cannot worry about what you think of me up here. I have to allow God to use me the way he wants to use me, whatever that looks like today. It is different. It is different. If people look at us back there yelling and screaming, Ali and I, sorry, that's church in our hearts. Church is worshiping God, and I'm sorry if it doesn't look like the way it used to look like. Our church is different. We have different in here, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Surrender to what your heart wants to do, because I know you love Jesus, and you want that. You want to surrender to him. Allow yourself to do it. Be free. This is freedom. It's just freedom. The old Tanya sat in the back row at the old church and just quietly just drew pictures in my notebook and waited to go home. The new Tanya does not. It's exciting. Okay, picture number three. We're going to get into this crushing and pressing. All right. So, you know, they stomped it with their feet. We're using a wine press today. But this is the crushing. They're pushing down on it. They're squeezing out that first bit of juice. And crushing, the word means breaking the skin of the grapes and releasing free run juices. They often did this by treading on them with their feet, but today we're showing you the current way of doing it. So he is crushing that down. He's pushing on it. You know what that's like when you're trying to stuff the trash down in there to get some more in the top, you know, whatever. You're crushing it. You're breaking it down. You're pushing it down, but it doesn't get everything. There's a pulp of juice and skin that remains after they are crushed. And I thought it was interesting that they even have the stems and all that. They don't sit there and pick each one off. That all that's in there. All of it is used by God. All of it. And so they're pushing down on that, and that's uncomfortable. You can feel that in your heart when you want to be angry at somebody, and God says, don't do it. I'm crushing that down. I'm pushing that anger down. I'm pushing that out of your heart. We want that to happen, don't we? We want to look like him. We want to allow ourselves to be that pure gold and mirror what God wants us to look like. So this is the crushing process. All right, and now we're going to go to the next picture, which is the pressing. So you can see there's a round half a disc here. It's like cement. It's heavy. And then they put another round on the other side. And then they put the lid on. And then you saw those two bars that are out there. And they start pressing. This is the painful part. It's the painful part. It means adding physical pressure to the grape pulp to release every last drop of juice out of the remaining solid parts. I'm sure those grapes are in there whining. Yeah, oh, that just came to me. Oh, geez. So anyways, when the crushing, we got to keep it fun, right? When the crushing and the pressing happens, the used up skins are tossed away. The pressed juice and the free run juice come together to create a unique blend to make wine. You need both. You need both. You can't just be crushed down and walk around. No, you got to be crushed and pressed. And it's not fun. I've been going under it lately, and it's hard. But the stuff that comes out at the bottom, which I don't have that picture yet, but the stuff that comes out at the bottom is the good, pure, pressed, and free-run juice that God needs us to be. So the winemaker is key to the pressing process. He cultivates and he prunes the grapevine to yield the best harvest. That's another message for the future here that I'm going to be doing about the winemaker or vine presser. Anyways, vine dresser. And that's God. He's the only one that can bring out the best grapes, the biggest bulk of grapes to bring out the best wine. This is a year-round commitment on his part. I watched a lot of videos from California where all the grape harvest places are, you know, the vineyards. A lot of videos on how they take care of all this. And it is amazing. It is a commitment. Like up at night, sleepless days, keeping them warm, keeping them watered, keeping them. And that's God. That's his job. He's walking us through every step. He prunes us when we need pruning. He does this whole process just to get this perfect grape to begin with, to make the wine. So the pressing is a delicate step that requires finesse and care. Now, we can't press each other the way God can press us. I can press your buttons all day long. But the finesse and, yes, my husband raised his hand. How dare he? But the finesse and care, and I'm getting better at the finesse and care, honey. But the finesse and care can only be done by God, right? Because he's the one that knows exactly how much pressing we can handle. If he applies too much pressure, the grape seeds may rupture, releasing harsh tannins and unpleasant plant taste in the wine. So that's a thought, right? If I'm pressing someone, I am pressing too hard, and it just turns them off and they run away. But God knows exactly how much pressure. But if he applies too little pressure, he could leave behind that valuable juice that he needs to make that blend for the wine. Is all this coming into a vision for you? Like to see this is a process. We don't just jump into a new church and go, I'm ready. There's a process that we need to go through, a process of maturity. And as we go through that, through discipleship, that's why this is part of our roots and fruits. That process through discipleship matures us and brings us to that place where we're ready to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, as hard as it is at the time. But only God can be the winemaker. So Jesus experienced the crushing and the pressing as well in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he submitted to the will of the Father. Fun fact, I thought it was fun. The Greek word for Gethsemane means olive press. So if you study that out, that's pretty cool. Wine press is a little bit different than this. I didn't take the time to bring up those pictures, but they are large stones and with a stone basin, and it rolls around and it crushes the olives. So the image of Jesus in Gethsemane can be seen as a metaphor for the weight of the world's sin pushing down on him like the heavy slab of an olive crusher. It rolls around, that cement on cement, crushing and crushing and crushing. And that's what our Lord felt that day. He laid there and he said, if there's any other way, Father. You know, we don't see that anywhere else in Scripture that he asked to not do God's will. But he said, if there's any other way, this is too heavy. This is hard. This is crushing me. And you can feel his pain, can't you? Taking on the sins of the whole world, not just his own, which he didn't have. But, you know, when we go through something, it's our own stuff. But when he went through something, it was all of our stuff. And it was crushing him. And it was just more than he could bear at that moment. But he did it. Grapes and olives are both fruits that are crushed and pressed as part of their production process. But the crushing methods differ from what I've shown you here. Praise God, he is not asking us to be crushed like Jesus, but Jesus did model how to submit to the Father in the process of that day. And so we can get a lot out of that. He's not asking us to be crushed for anyone else, you know, on our personal note. But the song by Hillsong that we sang today, The New Wine, I'm going to walk through that with you. There's a lot in this song, and I have sang it over and over for about 3 weeks. And this is what produced this. So in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. That's what we sang over and over and over. In the crushing and the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil, we've been talking about soil, being good soil. It takes an open and humble heart, good soil in the crushing and the pressing process. If you don't have an open heart for what God wants to do in you, you don't feel the crushing and the pressing at all. And so it makes you wonder, like, why am I not struggling with that? Not, we struggle from the stuff from the enemy, but I'm talking about the stuff that God wants to do in you. That's a different kind of crushing and pressing. It says, in the soil, I now surrender. Give all of me. Give all that I have. I give it up so you can do what you want to do in me. You are breaking new ground. So that's the soil he can use. He's plowing. He's doing the plowing. He's moving that plow up the rows of our lives. And he's asking, are you going to let me do this? He'll take out the rocks and the weeds, but are you going to let me go deeper in the soil so I can plant deeper in you? And that would be maturity right there. That's where we want to be. When I came here, I'd been a Christian for 50 years, and I had no maturity whatsoever. I had no idea I was supposed to be submitting to God for things to happen for other people. The song says, so I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. That phrase right there is really hard. You want to understand what's going on. You want to understand why you're being called to go do that. That makes no sense, God. That makes no sense. I'm not doing it. And then when you sit with God, you say, okay, I'll be obedient. I will humble myself. I will do that. I don't know how, but I trust you, right? When he calls you to do something you've never done before and you don't know how to do it, you have to surrender yourself and what you think it looks like and go do it. That's humble. So make me your vessel. You know what a vessel is, right? A big jar, or that's the way we picture it out of the Bible in the Old Testament. A big vessel, a big container that holds something. In that vessel, we want to be open, to be used, willing, obedient. And yeah, it has some cracks in it because we aren't perfect, but people can see the new wine in you through the cracks. Through your imperfectness, they can see God's glory because they know Tanya's not like that. Right, honey? Tanya's not like that. Tanya's not like that. So at that moment when Jesus is showing through, they know it's God. It's not me. They know I've never done that before. They know I couldn't do that. They know I can't be not angry at that moment. Yes, I can. If I allow myself to be crushed at that moment and not be angry and keep my mouth shut. I'm getting better at that. Yes, I am. So I said that twice. All right, the next song is Make Me an Offering. What's an offering, right? We just had offering message. It's your perspective. Thank you, Aaliyah, for setting that up so well. It's your perspective. Are you offering yourself to God? Are you allowing yourself to be used? Are you saying, God, use me as an offering on your altar? Here's the altar. I could just throw myself on it. Use me, God. Use me, God. Put me up here. Let me submit to you, God. I want to give you that thank offering. You know, the drink offering was a thanksgiving for his provision in my life. It was thank you, God, that you changed me from that shallow person that sat in the back and waited to go home to somebody who can be used by you powerfully. Thank you, Jesus. And I want that. I want to be put on the altar over and over and over. Die to myself so I can be used by God. I needed to be shown how to do that. I desired to do that my whole life, but I never learned that anywhere else but God. So the next line, make me whatever you want me to be. Okay, so this requires you to seek God to say, what do you want me to do? And people don't like asking God that because if they sit and listen, it's not what they want to do almost every time. It is hard. It is hard. That's the pressing. He's pressing on you and saying, I want you to go do that. No, 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 no. But if you allow yourself and you cry your way through it, yes, yes, yes. I've had a lot of tears in the last couple of weeks. And it's okay because he wants to use me in a different way than what I thought. I have to change and do what he wants. So I came here with nothing. But all you have given me, I came to this church with nothing. I was sick. I was sick. I was unusable by God. I had so much going on. The enemy had me just underneath and bound. But God says, I've given you all this. Are you going to use it? I had to be discipled to understand that. I had to be discipled to understand, oh, that's not the way you're supposed to be. I didn't know that. I've been doing this for 50 years that way. Jesus, bring new wine out of me in the crushing. I want to say, break me, Lord. I put my flesh and desires down. Break me, Lord. Break me. And in the pressing, squeeze me. Get everything out of me. More of you, less of me. How many of you want that? Because this is hard. I mean, you may be dealing with it in your heart right now in your own way. This is the hard part of being a follower of Christ. This is the part they don't talk about. This is not the part that they teach you in a regular church. And that's why I didn't know it. I'd never heard that. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The next line says, because where there is new wine, that's the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your new wine. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know I can get everybody to raise their hands. Who wants more of the Holy Spirit? Who wants more power? Who wants more glory of God on them? Come on, raise your hands. I know you do, or you wouldn't be here. There is new power. When they say that word power, it just charges me. Woo, supernaturally. It charges me because that's transformational power. It's what changed my life. It's what will change somebody else's. It's what pushes me to go share with somebody whether they want to hear it or not. This changed my life. Jesus can do that for you. That's what pushes you to do it, because it's his power that says, go do it. I can change them. Don't you want to see them changed? And then the line, there is new freedom. Hallelujah. Get used to saying it, because they like to say that under the tent a lot. And they like to scream it from the microphone. Hallelujah. And I just mimic, and I love it. I love it. It's our shofar. Hallelujah. New freedom. We all want that. We want less of the devil attacking us and more of God. Less of ourselves whining and grumbling and complaining and more of God. And guess what happens? With new freedom, the kingdom is here. The glory comes down on the earth. When we walk in freedom, his glory comes down and people can see that you've been with him. They can see something they don't have in you. That's what God wants. God wants us walking and talking and showing that we're free. That old Tanya that used to be, they don't see her anymore. And they're like, what happened? What's changed? It's the glory of God. It's spending time with God, and it changes everything, and it brings the kingdom of heaven down. So I lay down my old flames. I had to think about that. It does not mean old boyfriends. Does not mean old boyfriends. Old flames. Think about that for a minute. It means the old ways, the ways that you thought it would work. The ways that you thought church should be. I already went over that, but the way you think it should be is the old way, because God always wants to do something new. He needs to get his point across to this country, this world, and it isn't working the old way. So if we want to see this country changed, if we want to see the world change, we got to allow him to give us, it says, to carry your new fire today. You, God, I want to carry you. I'm giving up the old flame. He's no good. It was my own self, my own thoughts. She's no good. No, I want you. I want to carry you. I carry the Holy Spirit within me. You carry the Holy Spirit in you. We are glory carriers. Why don't people know that? Why isn't our shofar going? Why isn't our shofar going to people all the time just by our actions and the way we walk? They should see your broken vessel being filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, strong finish. Cry out to God. This is the ending. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. It means we're getting back on the altar. She says that very quietly underneath. And I didn't know that until I pulled up the words. And she says it real quietly. And after she said it, I heard it again. And now I sing that too. It means we're getting back on the altar. Because we have to do it. We get off all the time. We get off that altar and then we get over here in our flesh and we get all... And no, smack ourselves, get back on the altar. We're saying we surrender everything, Lord. Bring new wine out of me, Jesus. This should be our cry. There's another good one. It's called Make Room. So I'm choosing you, God. I'm making room for you to work in me. All right, now we're going to take it to Scripture. In the Gospel of John, second chapter, starting verse 1 through 11. Jesus did his first miracle here of turning water into wine. All right, we got it. We're good. Michelle, you're doing a great job. Thank you. All right, it says, on the third day, in a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. You know, it's kind of cool because he didn't just walk around making sure everybody knew he was the king. He went and enjoyed family. He went and did parties and brought his presence there. You can have fun with Jesus. So let's have some fun. We can have fun with Jesus. We don't have to always be mission appropriate, but we can always be mission minded. So when we go and we spend time with our families and we just his presence sitting amongst the family. It's pretty powerful. So it says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Only Jesus could call Mary woman. Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. So they ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. And I'm sitting with that today, actually, this morning. And the Lord said, yeah, he's running out of wine here. There aren't vessels ready. His wine needs to be poured through. But there are people that are not ready, that are not open, that are not surrendered, that are not willing. Please don't let it be us, Lord. He says, why do you involve me? You know, back in the day, they always asked their husbands to help them whenever there was a situation. Us women today, we're a little more independent, and we kind of try to do things on our own. But Mary didn't have a husband any longer. Joseph had died. Could have been just saying to Jesus, will you help me, son? They've ran out of wine. This is our family. We don't want the shame. They had a wedding for a week. So lots of wine had to be going, flowing every day. And their wine wasn't like as fermented as ours is today. Either. We'll just put that in there. They weren't a bunch of alcoholics. But that would have brought great shame on the family. So she just went to Jesus and said, help them. But he said, you know, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. You see, the Holy Spirit's waiting to land in us and be that season where the outpouring of the Spirit comes. Are we ready? You know, there's pockets of him where people are allowing him to flow, but there are pockets where it's not happening. If we're not seeing miracle signs and wonders, we got to ask ourselves, is our hour come? It's time. It's time. So back to scripture, it says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I think Jesus says right here, do whatever Tanya's speaking. Could be, I don't know. Maybe I just added that. But this is serious stuff. He is saying we need to be doing this. So nearby stood six stone water jars. These were big. The kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot to be empty. But they used those to pour out the water and wash their hands, because that was the most important thing, to wash their hands before they did anything. All right. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. So that was faith. They're like, this doesn't make any sense at all. How are you going to do anything with all these jars full of water? But Jesus knew what he was going to do. But they had faith, and they went ahead and did it, and they filled them to the brim. They didn't just fill them like half full just to see if it works, because that's what we do. Let's just see if this works. Let me just see. If I just lay that hand, will they get healed? Is it happening, Lord? I don't know. No, to the brim. Trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. My faith is working. It's in effect. Thank you, Lord. So then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Wow. Okay, they probably could see as they drew it out that it was different, right? So they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. When somebody has been ministered to by you, do they know it's different? Do they taste the difference? Do they taste and see that God is good from what you just spoke? Is it the word of God that will set them free? Absolutely. And they'll know that that was something. He did not realize, back to scripture, where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, everyone brings out the choice wines first, and then the cheaper wine after the guest had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Thank you, God, that we live in the season where the best is coming. Thank you, Jesus, that we live in this season. But do we want to give back to God what he's giving to us? Because he wants to give it. But if we're not ready, if we're not maturing, if we're not opening our vessel, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We don't want to do that. So in this story, it shows water and wine. They are on opposite ends of the spectrum. They can represent two different kinds of people. God cultivated us all to be his grapes, and he wants to use all of us for kingdom work. So some people see themselves like the wine, gifted and having natural abilities to serve God. But if they get prideful in their gifts and only focus on getting bigger, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm getting bigger and bigger. And wow, look at my church. I have 3,000 people. I have 9,000 people. I'm getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Guess what they can become? Next picture. Picture six. there they are, dried up because they're not connected to God. They're all about themselves getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't want to be a raisin. There's nothing in that raisin that, I mean, they're good to eat, but there's nothing in there that looks good for serving God. It's all dried up. It's not connected to the vine any longer. It's not abiding with God. It's all about them. It's all about being bigger and bigger and bigger. The only way for grapes to be wine is through the crushing and the pressing. That's a process. So humbleness breaks pride and the things that keep us from being used like Jesus was. If those prideful people full of themselves are, look at me and all my giftings, woo-hoo-hoo, they're not going to be able to be used. They're going to end up drying up. Okay, and we see a lot of churches having that happen. So we have to surrender to God to become what the Father wants to become, wants us to become, so he can use you for his kingdom in the way he wants to use you. Okay, we can be plump full grapes to get the best wine, but we have to be submitted to the process. So picture 7, some people see themselves like the water. They lack confidence and can only envision staying just like that. But I'm pure, I'm clean, I'm refreshing, I've got everything I need over here. I bring refreshing to myself. I'm good. I read my scripture one a day, and I'm good. But what did Jesus do? He turned the water into wine. Picture 8. Okay. Notice the wine has a pitcher, right? I saw discipleship in this. We have been made into wine, and the Holy Spirit will pour into the person, and they'll pour into the next person and into the next person. Yes, that's discipleship right there. He will turn us into wine. He will mature us, and we can walk in that process of discipleship to pass on his wine to others, and they will become more wine. But please don't stay looking like the water glass. It does look good. It does look refreshing. But it's not going to pour out to others if it's just envisioning itself being a water glass, right? If those people wouldn't have done what he said, you know, fill it with water and take out some, they never would have saw it become wine. They wouldn't have saw the miracle. So we got to do that. So you have everything it takes to walk in the kingdom work of God because the Holy Spirit is the one who provides the boldness, the confidence, and the courage that it takes to do the Father's will. He gives it to you. You ask for it, he gives it. You don't have to look like me, okay? You don't have to. But just get the confidence that you have it in you to take that step of faith. Are you willing to do what he says? Don't raise your hand, but in your heart, is your hand raised? Am I willing? Do I want this, what she's talking about? I honestly think a lot of us have both sides in us. We just need to trust God and take steps of faith in everything to walk it out. For an example, I'm going to use myself. Please don't think I'm gloating in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you how God has used me here. I came here with nothing, but all I have today is what he gave to me while I was here. God has naturally gifted me to teach. That I have known for years. I taught preschool. I taught my children. I taught at schools. I taught. I knew that was something that God gifted me with. Didn't know exactly how to use it. But in willingness, obedience, and lots of crushing, I have learned to be a door-to-door evangelist. And if you know me, that's pressing. That is very pressing on me. Squeezing every ounce of, like, I hate this. And they know we put stuff out there. We do flyers. Oh, my gosh. I will go to an open marketplace and share with anybody, run after people. Hey, 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 Jesus loves you. But I hate door to door. But in being willing and trying not to grumble, Sarah, as we were walking around, he's taking videos of me going, yes, I'm here. But pressing. It's pressing me to go door to door. I just don't like it. Now, maybe if you go to a different country where people open their doors and are smiling at you, it'd be okay. But we have a lot of people that are like, no, I have a video camera. I can see you're not somebody I need to answer the door for. So I don't like it. I don't like it when people come to my door, so I guess maybe that's part of it. I should maybe sow that. I should sow and reap that. Come on, people, come to my door. I'll open it, and then I'll adjust, and I'll stop being pressed. But anyways, you see what I'm saying, though? You have to be pressed to do some things with God. It's not easy. But submit yourself to the process, and he will help you. I always stand behind little Sarah and act like I'm not there. And then we walk away, and I'm like, ha-ha, I did it. It's horrible to me. But anyways, okay, once God gave me a vision while I was praying here, we all were praying about where to go, and I got a vision of a house. I knew exactly what street it was on, pretty much, what color the door was, and I'm telling her, no way, no way am I going to look for that vision. Ain't happening. On my way home, I drove through the addition. I found the house. I did not go to it. But I drove away and I prayed, and when we went out then, whatever, a couple days later when we actually went, we went there. They weren't home. Oh, praise God. But but we gave them a flyer because I knew that was the door I was supposed to go to. But I do not like door-to-door evangelism. But in the crushing and the pressing squeeze out of me myself, and I'm able to go. Didn't say you have to like it when you're pressed. Okay. On to the next one. I have learned to disciple other people right here in this place. God has taught me how to disciple people through Pastor Sarah, Pastor Karen, discipleship. And I've learned to do it. And now I disciple people. And it's awesome because in that, and that really wasn't a pressing because I like to teach, right? The ability, the natural gift that he gave me to teach comes out when I disciple people. Sorry, we're going to stick to the book because that's where we teach from. No. But I share. I share with them what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sharing with you because I'm doing it. It's what we do. We're a glass of water at a moment. You can see through us because I'm very transparent in what I share. This is what's happening to me today, and I'm sharing with you so you can avoid that or go into it either way. But I've also learned to preach sermons. I never, ever would have thought I could do this. I like to talk, but you actually have to have a base of what you're saying. It's not just all over the map, honey. And there's a point to what you're speaking. So praise the Lord for that. I have learned recently to speak at funerals. This is not something I want to do. I don't want to go to people's funerals and speak. I'll sit there. I'll comfort one-on-one. Okay, God, I'll do it. But crushing and pressing. You know, they said, will you come speak? I'm like, in Jesus' name, I can do all things. What? I'm the main speaker. Oh, okay, that's a pressing. But, you know, God is good, and he will give you what you need. He will give you the boldness, the confidence. He will send Pastor Sarah to sit next to me and go, you can do this. And praise God for that, right? All right. Also, he's taught me how to minister in people's homes. And so on and so on. But this is all to God's glory. This isn't mine. This isn't natural stuff that I know how to do. This is all in his power of the new wine. I'm just up here being very vulnerable and transparent so you can see that his power does come when you're willing to do it. All the glory goes to God. And I am just excited to finally figure out how to be used by God. You know? So, yeah, I already said that. Okay, so be willing to go through the crushing and the pressing so you can walk in his power to do his will and change this world. Amen? Amen. That's what we want to see. We want to see our state, our country, our world changed by God. All right, next picture. I don't even know what it is. Picture 9. Is it that one? I don't even know. Oh, that one. That one right there. The purpose of this message is to share and disciple many, but God's timing is important. You can see that while they were up there turning the press, the wine is still coming, but you have to do it slow. You have to do it in patience. God's the one doing it, right? And he's slowly doing it. And he's not going like this to you because you won't be able to make it. You can't handle that. Plus, it releases the tannins and the other things. But all right, so this is the process we're going through right here. When we do not back down from God's timing, he prepares us to do his mission. When there is a need, God will prepare you to serve. Just say yes. So I've been here 8 years. I didn't go speak at a funeral my first day. It was through this process of slowly understanding the power of God in me and how to call on that and how to ask him and how to trust him what's going to come out of my mouth. Sometimes things fly out, but in this day, I needed it to be all him, and I didn't want any joking or any of that kind of thing. It's hard to do a funeral. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was hard. I told him, I'm not doing this again. And then I got called for another one. Are you kidding me? But you know, it's okay. It's okay because God will use you. But you can't, I'm used to this. I'm used to having fun. You can't do that necessarily the way I do at a funeral. All right, so we can't bake down. We just have to say, yes, we can do this. So God will mature us through our obedience to him. We must gain maturity, but as you serve, maturity comes. As you take that step and you do this that he's asked you to do, pretty soon, door-to-door won't be so painful. And then you do the next thing that he'll give you because he will trust you with more as you take those steps. All right. He's not asking you to start running a marathon your first day. So we have to have the foundation in Jesus Christ and be built up in the word, but we shouldn't be too comfortable to just sit there with that. Comfortable is not crushing and pressing. It's the uncomfortable that brings the new wine. When you are allowing him to cause that pressure and that squeezing, that's when you know God's moving in you and he's taking you to the next level. With that, because comfortable didn't get people anywhere. If a person wanted to run a marathon, but they didn't like stretching and they didn't like running past a mile, are they going to go on that marathon? They have to take the first step and get out there and start running, right? So we shouldn't wait until we have everything all lined up in a row like a theology student, but we just need to move in Jesus. I mean, the things I heard at the beginning were, you can't preach, you didn't go to school for this. You don't have theology training. You didn't have 8 years of learning about Jesus. Nope, I didn't. I went to them with that one. Jeez, how am I going to do this? I'm not a theologian. He said, praise God. God can actually use you. Oh, praise the Lord. Not that there's anything wrong with being a theologian and understanding theology and all of that, but allow God to use you in it. Don't become that big grape that just turns into a raisin. Right? No raisins here. I know I don't have that training. All right. So to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, we just need to be humble and obedient. I think you've heard me say those words quite a few times, but that is the words. And if we waited until we thought we were ready, we may never take that step. It's scary. But the crushing comes and the pressing comes, and then you just go, I just trust you, God. I'm just going to go. It's going to happen. It's all right. But meanwhile, while we're sitting there trying to decide if we have it or we don't have it, people are drowning. They're drowning in their sin. They're drowning in what the devil is pouring out over the earth right now. They're drowning and maybe even dying without Jesus. I don't know about you, but that I cannot stand. I cannot stand that thought. I don't want people to die without Jesus. I don't want people to be drowning. I'm trying to throw you a life preserver. Grab a hold. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need more of Jesus and his new wine to do this work, to bring in the harvest before he returns. We don't want to have empty jars over here with nobody doing anything, right? Nothing getting accomplished with the water. We need to let him turn us into the wine. Amen. I want to be pretty wine. I want to be that pretty burgundy. So people, I'm wearing burgundy. Hallelujah. Squirrel. People, and it's not a test. That was the last time I preached the test of how many times I said jibber jabber. But people are like grapes, and we have everything it takes to become wine because he made us that way. But we can get in the way of God using us the way he desires. God wants submissive hearts, and we can only be that way if we humble ourselves, and it takes crushing and pressing to deny those fleshly desires. The distractions that come across your phone during the day can be very powerful. They distract you from, what are my kids doing? What? And you get all upset and all into their problems, and yet God wants to use you, and you're over here. That's not how it works. You had to put that down. Okay, I trust you, God, with my kids, and I'm going on. I'm going to keep my car driving on the right road to Jesus. So servants are obedient, and they are willing to do whatever it takes to serve their master. Is he your master? Are you his servant? He has equipped us with the ability to be obedient, but we have to submit to that. It is against our fleshly desires, so guess what? We need to pray, and pray hard. Not just little prayers on the fly, but actually spend time with him and pray. We can fast and break that hold that thing has on you by fasting and read the word of God to get there. The more you read of God, the more he'll set you free. Jesus is the living word, and he sets you free by you getting that understanding. And when you do it all together, pray, fast, and the word all together, poof, fireworks. It's powerful. All right, we need to have self-denial and pray, Lord, break me, break my will. Because he gave us a mind, he gave us a will, and he gave us emotion. That's our middle of ourselves here. We have our spirit, we have our soul, and then we have our bodies. But in that soulish realm where we have our will, we can still say no, and we can dig our heels in and say, I'm not doing that. It sounds good down here, spirit. It sounds good, but nah, not doing it. So you have to break that. You have to break that thought. Renew the word of God with fasting and praying and fly like the wind. Woo! God wants to do the supernatural in you. Supernatural. Not stuff we see everybody else doing. He wants to do supernatural and allow himself to flow through us. Who wants that? I need some hands. Come on, who wants the supernatural to flow through you? Amen, amen. Get that picture of what that looks like. I want that supernatural. I want to look different than anybody else in this world. So we're going to close here with Philippians 2, 13 to 18. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. That's what God wants from us. Paul did that so well. And so I just thank the Lord. Let me take a drink. I just thank the Lord that he's given us a way to break through our flesh and our own wills and our own emotions to serve him in such a powerful way. We can be like Jesus too. So let's pray for those online. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. We hope you come in person to our tent meeting starting Friday night through next Tuesday, 6:30. Be here or be square, as they used to say. So, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you that they listen to this message. I pray, Lord, that your arrows go through and hit them in the heart and bring conviction where they need conviction. Lord, use this message to raise people up to be what you want them to be. Crush us, Lord. Press us, Lord. Break ourselves out so we can walk in freedom and be used by you in such a powerful way to be walking down the street with flames on our shoes. Thank you, Jesus, that people will see us and go, something's different about them. Yes, it's different. It's the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And I just release that over you now in the name of Jesus. Call upon him and he will come in and he will swirl through you and you will feel his presence. You will feel his fire. You will feel a change in you right now. In the name of Jesus, just accept it and say, yes, I want to do what she said. I want to walk in what she said. I want to be obedient to the word of God. I want to humble myself. I want to be used by God. You need me, God. I need you, but you need me. Use me. Use me, God. Thank you, Jesus. We want to see lots of vessels of wine around here. Not because we're alcoholics. We're using juice wine. fruit of the vine. So, Father, we just thank you. Bless them. Bless them this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.